Turn with me this morning to the book of Exodus, the 30th chapter. I guess in verse 22 we'll begin. It said, "Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh and 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus 250 shekels, and of cassia 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of all olive and hin. And thou shalt make it an holy oil, holy ointment, and an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be a holy anointing oil. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table, and all his vessels, and the candlestick and his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offerings with all his vessels, and the laver and his foot. And thou shalt sanctify them." It can't be used for anything else. That's it. "That they may be most holy. Whatsoever touches them shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured." This is a holy oil, you understand, anointing oil. "Neither shall ye make any other like it, after the composition of it. It is holy, and that shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people." This holy anointing, I believe, is one thing that for the most part the religious world has left off. You don't need an anointing anymore. What you need is a church council, or somebody to decide who's going to do the preaching, who's going to be the teacher, who's going to be the bus driver, who's going to do all the ministry. And they've left off the anointing of the Lord. They've taken up the position of God himself to carry on what they call a service of the Lord. I don't know how you could be much more wrong than that. And that's what's wrong with most of the attempt at preaching of the gospel today, is that they don't have any anointing, no unction of the Holy Spirit. They're well learned, but they don't have any knowledge. That's a whole different world. It's not of this world. It's not of all this knowledge and wisdom of this world. The wisdom and the anointing comes from God himself. Amen. And there's a caution at the end of this. Don't compound any like it. Don't try to do any more. We don't need any strange oil. it carries penalty. If you attempt to take on what God has set forth and do away with it and replace it with a strange oil, then it'll not have any effect at all. Matter of fact, it will take the things the wrong way because it genders evil. Don't need any strange fire. See that over in the book of Leviticus. Seem like the preacher's sons is the worst ones. Took some strange fire. Don't need a strange an altar. The altars have become strange. Because they have left off waiting upon the Lord to do the anointing. In the 61st chapter of the book of Isaiah, few verses here. Verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman. But this, I don't believe, is speaking entirely only of the Son. But it was speaking of all that have been anointed to carry on the preaching of the gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself set forth and is the head of. And it was all done in the Lord's own time. That's one of the problems that has taken on the ways of the church, is that they have set about to do things in their own time, in their own manner, and left off waiting upon the Lord. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. It was an acceptable year of the Lord and a day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. Now he set something forth here in particular in Zion. Could it be that the Lord is anointing the anointed? Well, He is. They were anointed before the foundation of the world. And the anointing, though, that we see is anointing that comes in God's own time, down through all the generations, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, after a man has got down in sackcloth and ashes. In God's own time, He'll lift him up. If he be one of the anointed, the anointing of the anointed, I believe, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be, what we just be glorified. We just sang at them, the Lord of glory, that he might be glorified. And then jump on over to the 9th verse, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and the offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed or anointed. I would greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation, or hath anointed. He done clothing, didn't he? One reason I come here today is that I've been hearing all this stuff about how Christ died for all people. All you got to do is just go claim it. But it's left off the anointing. No anointing. Oil of gladness. How does it make a man glad? Changes his heart. He'll get down in sackcloth and ashes, but then he'll be lifted up. But all this lasciviousness is going on, and I believe it's growing worse and worse by the day, especially in our day, in our time, when things are looking kind of bleak, you know? And death is all about. And then they're looking for something. But they're looking in all along wrong places. It's all in the hands of a sovereign God. And he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. What is it? This is a holy oil, and everything that touches it is holy. And moreover, everything that it touches. As a bridegroom decketh herself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the truth bringeth forth her bud, the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as a garden cat causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth. It produces righteousness before all the nations, and all the nations shall be blessed. Especially in the anointing of the Son, Jesus Christ. It all brings forth its kind. But when you leave off the anointing, you've left it all off. Because it's all in the Son. 2 Corinthians, I won't go to you. Second Corinthians, the first chapter. And verse 19, I guess, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even us, by Silvius and Timothy, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen unto the glory of God by us. Yeah. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God in his due time, in the fullness of time. And said, who hath sealed us hath also sealed us, not only as anointed, but has sealed us and give us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. So it's of God himself who's anointed the Son, and who has anointed all the people, the anointed, the called of God. Sign. The church. It didn't stop with the Old Testament. It carried on through. The church didn't just begin recently. It's been forever. It's been anointed since before the foundation of the world, and they are called in particular to be anointed to carry on until the Lord himself comes back, all by the anointing. Over in Psalms, this is Psalms, the 45th chapter. And I guess verse 6 we'll go, said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. This is where the preeminence lies, in the anointing of the Lord Jesus. And all thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia. And out of thy ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad, kings and daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen of gold of Ophir. Hearken. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear, and forget also thine own people and thy father's house. Got to be man-centered upon Jesus Christ and not these earthly things. Forget thy father's house, so shall the king greatly desire thy beauty. For he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift, even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins of her companions that follow her shall be brought unto thee, and with gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. they shall enter into the king's palace. Instead of thy father shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princesses in all the earth. And I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever.
Amen.
So the anointing began with the Son. And it has been continued on through all time, anointing of all the people of God unto certain duties and certain things that they must do. Some preachers, some teachers, on and on. Whatever it must be, somebody's got to listen.
Yeah.
While we read the word of the Lord. Because the word is the washing of the people. The anointing, if you will, of the people. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the oil. It has a sweet smelling savor to the Lord. If we'd read on a little further a while ago, in the book of Exodus, we'd have saw he's going to also make a perfume. And it all went together in the service of the Lord for a sweet smelling savor. And that's his a shadow of his people.
Yeah.
That are a sweet smelling savor unto the Lord. It's good and pleasant unto him when the people serve him. And how do they serve? By the anointing of the Lord himself. It's our God that has anointed.
Another gospel, but it's not another. But God's people are a sweet-smelling savor to him because he has washed us and made us clean, and he has put on us the garments of righteousness, pure and white. Think about the one that stood before the altar in his filthy rags. And God changed him, didn't he?
Yeah.
And so he has done for all of his people. He does not leave us in our natural condition. Because in our natural condition, what? Corruption. It's corruption. It's not a sweet smelling savor, is it? But it is amazing, isn't it? God, the one that prescribed, didn't he? And sometimes you get to thinking, well, why 500 of this and 250 of that and so forth and so on. But that's the perfection of God. That was an ointment like no other could ever be. And they may try to duplicate it. But it's not God's ointment. And it's not holy. All right. Those are good thoughts. Are we pleasing to God through that anointing? But if he has anointed us, we must be. Can't be any other way. He will cleanse us and make us pure.